now here we are, and I want to ask you, last week we talked about being present, and the newsletter on Monday last week was how are you, and the different ways that we answer. And I want you to think right now of how you are in a range. And so my range this week has been from enjoying my staycation to utterly panicked and flooded. That's been my range this week. So I'm wondering if I can get a few people to share. What is your range this week has been? Because none of us are flatlined. We have different experiences throughout the week. So a few people, what would you say your range has been this week? How have you been this week? And I'll take, as a former teacher, if you do move your hands up close to your face at any time, like Michael, you just did, it makes me think that you wanted to answer.
Well, I'm thinking about it, but I'm not quite ready.
Okay.
Soon. Give me a minute.
All right. We'll come back to you. So let me start with this instead. By a show of hands, how many people here have hands? How many people have hands? One thing I learned getting my master's in education is you want to start with an easier question. So I'll start with that one. By a show of hands, I'm going to make it a little bit harder. By a show of hands, how many of you have two hands? That's great. Twice the number. That's fantastic. That's good. On a show of hands, this last week compared to the week before, was it better or was it worse or was it about the same? Just show me on your screen. Where was this week? This week was better, worse, or the same? And everyone's got their own place for it. All right, now let's take a range. Where would you say you were this week? You fluctuated between this and that this week. Where would you say you are? Oh, hi, Jill. Glad to see you're here. Where would you say you are? Michael, go for it. I think.
Well, as opposed to last week, this week I was able to contain whatever frustration, anger, indignation I had to the degree that I could explain where I am in my effort to be better, so to speak. Not a better person, but be better with choosing how to relate calmly.
Okay.
I saw a shift more. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I just got distracted a little bit with the technology on my end.
Oh, okay.
Something is going a little bit.
Something's going on here. Yeah,
I'm going to assume you had perfect marks on what you just said.
He did.
He did.
And the chat people want you to know that it's May the 9th, just for your own well-being.
Oh,
what?
Welcome. It's May the 9th. What? Thank you, people on chat, for helping me out there. Let me go with this. How far? I'm going to change the question up. How far would you say you are from where you would wish to be right now? And just do it by hand's breadth. Where you would wish to be to where you are, where you currently find yourself right now. And, oh, it reminds me of a joke. Let me start with this joke. Did you hear about the one-armed fisherman? He caught a fish about this long. See, because there's only one hand.
I'm trying not to say the word boo.
Thank you for not booing. So let me see by a show of hands. So if you put one hand off of the grid, we can't see it at all. Where would you say you are now to where you would like to be? How far are you from that spot? Let's take a look on the screen. How far are you from where you wish you would be? And it's not a competition. Okay, we got people at various degrees.
Regarding what? I just came in.
Oh, that's welcome, Elizabeth. Question. Glad you're here.
Hi.
Elizabeth.
Regarding what? I just joined.
Welcome.
Where would like to be regarding?
Regarding
what? Again.
Where you currently are, where you find yourself in your life right this moment, to where you wish you would be. So the answer to the question, how are you? You would say this. How far is that from what your ideal would be this Saturday morning?
Okay.
Well, how far would that be, Elizabeth? About that far. Okay. Of course, we don't have a scale, but move it back a little further. Michael, you had something, or
Not there.
Your mic.
Oh, hi, Ben. Hi, Sherry. Glad to see you guys are here. I'm having a hard time with this screen share, so I'm going to turn that part off. I apologize. Give me a second, if you would. Microphone should say that. The speaker should say that. And then I can do that. And I can do this.
Yeah, I think we were getting like feed from both your sessions.
Yeah, that was all on me, Alex. Thank you. Let me get to the next question. But while I'm doing that, I'm going to ask, let's all just take a moment. Let me take a moment. We had some homework. Those of you who were here last week, there was some homework to do. And the homework was to go out and do a random act of kindness. For people who were here last week, how many of you actually went out and did that? Who intentionally went out, did a random act of kindness for last week? Fantastic. Scott, do you want to give us a moment? Tell us what it was that you did.
I was shopping and there was a lady in a wheelchair and she needed some vanilla and it was up on the top of the shelf. And I talked with her for a bit and made sure she got the one that she wanted. And that was my act of random goodness.
I love it. I love it. And it made you feel awful afterwards?
No, it made me feel good. And she was a nice lady. And we talked for a bit. So that was good.
Well, that's fantastic. Let's have somebody else. What else? Give me a random act of kindness that you did. Michael.
Well, this was a profound shift for me. The random act of kindness was calling a very good friend, platonic friend, with whom I hadn't talked in 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And for various reasons, and it was a very difficult process of accepting the loss of the friendship. And after the class, after the service, and the feeling, the virtual feeling of support, even with this issue, I just called, you know, not knowing what to expect, because in the past I'd always been shunned. But it was as if nothing happened. We talked and picked up as if nothing happened.
Amazing.
That to me was a huge step. That was a huge experience.
I love it. I love it. Can we show Michael some jazz hands, some waves?
I'm very grateful to the setting and the suggestion that opened that door, is what I'm trying to say. This is a shout out to you, really.
Well, I opened the door. You walked through.
I walked through, exactly.
Yeah.
Through.
Let's hear from one other person who did a random act of kindness last week just to see how it felt. Yes, Sherry?
I phoned a senior shut-in. And
were they expecting your phone call?
Nope.
No. And you called, and what happened?
It was wonderful. He was so delighted to have the call, and I just asked him about his growing up in Kenya, and it was just wonderful.
What? Okay, so those of you who would like to have the same kind of wonderful that Scott and Michael and Sherry had, you have a homework assignment, and it's this. In the next week, do a random act of kindness. I made myself a list of people, and I made a list of people who I thought would be surprised that I would call them and hopefully delighted that I would call them. The surprise was obviously it's a surprise because Renee Calamar, I never talk with. So I gave her a call. It was a surprise. The delight, it was a pretty sure thing. And every single person who I called, who I spoke with, was delighted. And people who I left messages for either texted me or called me back and told me they too were delighted. So here's your homework. Pick however many random acts of kindness you want to do in the next week. Do them. Everyone in on that?
Yeah. Yes.
Good. All right. Homework. We did that. Also, we were focusing on certainty last week. And that's there's a lot to do in that. I want to share a quote with you from my buddy Larry. He just gave me this one yesterday. And that's not the quote. There's the quote.
Let's see if you see one.
This is a great quote. If something is right, there is simply no wrong way to express it. Well, I missed the it on the end. If something is right, there is simply no wrong way to express it. Take that in for a second. If something is right, there is simply no wrong way to express it. And we can all think of things that you have to be careful when you say this. That's kind of a litmus test to know if it's something that's right. So let's talk about this for a second. If something is right, there is simply no wrong way to express it. What do you make out of that quote? I'd love to hear from some different people now. If something is right, there's simply no wrong way to express it.
But it's a good thing to do. Whatever you feel is right.
And you'll know it's good because it doesn't feel, it comes out easily. Yeah, thank you, Ruth. Who else? Give me. Yeah, Franny.
Hi, this is my first time joining you. And I'm going to play devil's advocate. Thank you. I've been reading your emails.
I love you, Franny.
So if someone expresses something that they feel is right, but they are coming from a place that I feel is completely wrong.
Correct.
Then how can that necessarily follow that there is no wrong way to express it?
Well, it was, I agree with you, lady, and thank you, because I truly believe that you honor a person by asking them to make an effort. And if you push me on the quote, that you're asking me to make an effort, and that's an honor. So thank you for pushing me on it. And here's what I would say, Franny. If you took it and you took whatever the person said and you were offended by it, then it wasn't right because they did express it incorrectly.
Okay, so I'm going to say someone who believes that murder is justified for something just completely huge. Or let's say for me, I don't believe in capital punishment, but someone tells me that everything about capital punishment is absolutely right and they express it in their belief,
then it's not right because it's not taken in right. I'm trying to remember this whole thing. The meaning of communication is in the response elicited regardless of intention. The meaning of communication is in the response elicited regardless of intention. The meaning of my communication, I might have the best intentions in the world. The meaning of communication is in the response elicited, regardless of how I meant it. If you're offended by it, then what I said was offensive. So if I bring that all the way back to the quote, if something is right, there's no wrong way to express it. If I express my views and you're offended by them, then what I said wasn't right.
It might be right to someone else, though. Mm-hmm.
In the situation in which I'm dealing, if I express it and it comes out and you don't like it, then it's not right, it's not true, it's not good.
But then
I'm only about 12 hours in with this quote, so I think it's making some sense over on this end. But yes, Michael, shoot, you're on fire.
Well, I appreciate with what's the previous woman said, and
Franny.
I think. And then what Franny said, now what you're saying is you're connecting content and demeanor or attitude are linked. You can't separate them. So if what you're saying is not coming from a respectful place, from the heart, from a respectful place, then the content clearly is irrelevant.
So let's do this. And there's this great, I think it was Buddha who said, don't believe anything I say unless it makes sense to you.
Right.
And I'm fully for that. If this quote doesn't work for you, leave it be. But I'm going to keep thinking on it, that there is nothing, if something is right, there's no wrong way to express it. I'm working with that quote. I'm liking it for now. I thank you for workshopping it. Betsy, go for it, Betsy Ann.
Yeah, I'd like to bring up what you said in response to, I think, was it Fran?
Franny?
Franny.
Yeah, Franny. And you said, when someone pushes you on something, you say it's an honor.
Yeah.
I mean, it means for me, the person is listening, or you elicited something in a discussion or a... Yeah. So that spoke out to me more than that first quote.
All right, so the moral of the day isn't what I said, it's this other quote, which is, you honor someone when you ask of them to make an effort. Right? You honor someone when you ask them to make an effort. I did that when I was a teacher, when I was teaching high school. I asked my students to make an effort, and to me, I was giving them the opportunity to make an effort.
I like that.
They didn't always. Also, can I just do a quick shout out to the whole group? We have at this moment, I don't know, 20 microphones that are on and hot, and everyone, this drives me crazy when I'm in other Zoom rooms, this is actually what adults can do, is we can all be in the same room looking at each other and having a conversation with an entire group. So I thank you for proving this works. Okay. Here's a question. Next thought. I feel like a game show host a little bit. We're going to move our thoughts a little bit. We did this last week, and I want to ask people if they have any concerns of their heart. Are there things that are weighing on your heart right now that, not for the group to fix, but just that you need to say out loud, because it's too much for just one heart to bear. And there's something remarkably healing in having random love. I'm a big fan of random love as a cure to some of the random hurt that happens in our life. So is there something that's on your heart that nobody's going to contradict you or argue with you, but is there something that's on someone's heart that they want to share out? Shirley Wainis, I don't know why you got spotlighted on my video. Is there something on your heart, my friend? You can say no. That's cool. Oh, no, Shirley's just on. I see what happened there. That's my bad. Thank you, Shirley. Is there someone who's got something to share? That's cool. Jeff, go for it, my friend.
I have concerns right now that in the politics of our country have gotten so coarse and vulgar, and they're going to get worse over the next 90 days until the election. And that is a great concern to me, because this is a situation where we should be unifying and not ripping apart.
Amen. And nobody needs to make commentary. Let's just hold that. And if you have that in your heart, make room for Jeff's piece of it as well. And know that everyone else is here for you. Some other things that are weighing on you right now. Yeah, Franny.
Brian.
I don't know who said the Brian there.
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, go for it.
I'm so concerned about people who are living check to check, week to week, and we're just not coming up with enough answers for them.
Yeah. Yeah, let's all make some room in our hearts to hold that too. And not only in our hearts, but if you got some way of helping, even in small little ways, please do that this week. Mm-hmm. Other concerns we got, concerns of our hearts we want to share out.
I'm sort of concerned. My concern is for the students that I've been teaching virtually now, and they've been asking, what's going to happen next year? I've had the parents asking, what's going to happen to the struggling students that I work with for next year, when we don't even know if we're going to be in a school, and we're looking and saying, how can we keep that 6-foot distance?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of concerns. A lot of people hold that in our hearts as well. Franny, you had something?
I do. My concern is that through, I think, the last few years, and then particularly with this pandemic, my heart has not I can't get it to be soft again.
Mm.
So it's as though there's a big piece of felt that's there, that's cushioning and protecting me, but then I've lost my vulnerability, and I'd like to find a more open, softer heart.
Amen. I know a lot of people can join you on that. Wonderful. Anyone else got a burning concern of their heart? I'm going to move us along. This is our theme for right now. It's this call to be human. That we all have a call to be human. And we're called to be human, nothing more and nothing less. And that second phrase, I think, is really important there. We are called to be human, nothing more. We're not called to be angels. We're not called to be perfect. We're not called to be faultless. We're not called to be anything more than who we are. And we're not called to be anything less. So we're called in what we were just talking about. We're called to be in our hearts. We're called to be human, to be faulty, to be imperfect. Let that sit for a moment. And I'm going to ask a follow-up question. If we are all called to be human, and this is what we're called to be, what are some of the stumbling blocks that keep us from being human? And I put two of them up here. Two of the stumbling blocks that I know of is we feel that we are abandoned or isolated. Another stumbling block is ridicule and rejection. Those are just two that I came up with in putting this together. What would you say are the stumbling blocks? Here is the call. You are called to be human, nothing more, nothing less. What gets in the way of that? You are called to be human, nothing more, nothing less. What gets in the way of you being fully human, being called to be human, nothing more, nothing less? Michael, I got you, but I want to see if there's some other people. Okay. I know you understand that.
That's fun.
Yeah, John?
Well, the thought, can you hear me?
Yeah, man.
The thought occurs to me that, I had it and I just lost it. No, lack of practice.
The lack of practice keeps us from being human.
Yes, it's very hard sometimes to be human because of the hurt involved, oftentimes. Not always, but frequently the hurt that is involved, something like the rejection you were talking about.
Yeah.
But I think the thought of we need more practice at being human.
Amen. And I saw a hand next to Allie and talk.
Yeah.
What is your name?
I'm Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Hi. I think somebody said in the chat, but fear as well. Fear
keeps us from being human.
Yeah.
Fear of what, Ben? Give me a few. Fear of
fear.
Everything.
maybe just the fear of putting yourself out there. Of being vulnerable, and being able to, fear of trouble expressing this. So maybe it's not right.
So no, you're onto it, Ben. Here's the thing: we pretend this is so insidious. We pretend to be perfect, to not have mistakes, to keep from looking like we're human and that we make mistakes, which keeps us from practicing, as John said, so that we don't get better at being human. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a thing. Larry, you have something to say.
I think you have it wrong, Brian.
I love you.
I think that the reason people are not human is because society is not human. People are afraid to do different things. Ooh. People are afraid to look or do or feel differently from what they feel is the collective wisdom. And that's why it is difficult to be human.
Because it's hard to be human because they aren't God. Human. They are modeling for us. We shouldn't, and you've got to conform.
Oh, yeah? Did he? Didn't even know he was still alive.
Oh, hi, Sharon. I'm muting you. Larry, go back. So the reason we're not human is because there's a societal pressure to be cutthroat, to yes, not be like, human.
There's a stigma against being human. There's a stigma against being nice because in our society, that is not really an acceptable venue.
Oh my goodness. I don't know where we're disagreeing, Larry, because I agree with you. but all right, so give me, what are other stumbling blocks? So society, you would look like a fool if you were dared to be human amidst all these people who aren't being human. There's a phrase, a Jewish phrase that I can't remember how it would go in, but it's even if everyone else is being a wild beast, you are still to be a mensch.
That's right. And that's what people find difficult to do. They find they cannot get out of the herd instinct. Right, they okay. You see this in every area of life. Clothes, what you eat, what you do. Yeah. There is and it's been exacerbated by the new technology. First, it was exacerbated by television. Radio did not have that impact, but television did. And certainly this kind of communication does, because everyone feels they have to be like everyone else. That's their comfort zone. And once you get out of that comfort zone with other people, you feel that you cannot maintain that comfort zone. You have to be like everyone else.
I got you. I thank you, Larry. There's a definite, there's peer pressure to not be human. Ricky, what do you got?
When you talk about being human, what are you talking about? You're talking about being nice?
Part of it, that's it. For example, in my job, since now we have, we're doing counseling by phone or by by computer, camera, both telehealth.
Am I sitting here? I better be on.
Keep going, Ricky.
And sometimes, I mean, the computer just doesn't work. Or sometimes my patients are...
I got you. So not only are the people around us keeping us... So we have this call to be human, nothing more, nothing less. Not only are people making it hard to do, but the technology around us and shit goes wrong. And it's hard to be human when shit goes wrong.
Right. And then what happened is that... there are other people who are younger, who are more techy. They can deal with that, with the telehealth a little bit better. And, you know, something that I can't do. I mean, and I'm one of the people who have been working there the oldest, and I'm supposed to, you know more or whatever. And I'm not that technologically.
Okay. So let me ask one more group of people. Let's get one different kind of answer. The call to be human, nothing more, nothing less. That someone says, what was the thing you went, Rabbi Brian's spiritual mumbo jumbo service thing? What was the sermon about? This is the sermon. It's the call to be human. What's the second part?
Nothing more, nothing less.
The stumbling blocks are society. Frustration, right. Technology. What are the other stumbling blocks? Like, lack of practice, feeling like a fool if you're the only one who's human and everyone else isn't. Yes, here. Carol, and I need everyone to be quiet because Carol's voice sometimes doesn't carry so easily on the mic.
I think there is a gift in this pandemic because we are now socially distanced and we can finally get in touch with our own inner voice is saying, And then we can say, oh, maybe I can carry this with me when this is all over.
Amen. Okay, so let me ask a different question. Similar but different. And I apologize, I can't get to everyone on this one. What are, those were the stumbling blocks. What are the things that help us to be human, nothing more, nothing less? What are the things that help us? I made a list of some words. What are the things that can help us to be human, nothing more, nothing less? What are the things you can do that would help you to be more human, nothing more, nothing less? Concrete step you can take. Ruth Bernstein.
This morning, I got an email from a friend whom I had given a housewarming gift 6 years ago. And she wanted me to know that she still had it and she was still grateful. And I thought to myself, you know, I had forgotten totally about it. The idea that somebody can come back 6 years later and thank you, say thank you, was very, it makes me feel it's all worthwhile.
Right. So gratitude can help us to be human. Forgiveness can help us to be human. What are other things that can help us to be human? Yeah, Alex.
Where's Alex?
Hey, Alex, you got it.
Anyway. The mute didn't want to unmute. Courage, to be courageous.
Courage. We need to have, you have to be courageous because there's so much pressure to not be human. Amen. And Rita, I saw, and then Derek. Rita, what's something that helps you to be human?
Coming from the heart. Seeing the good in whoever I'm relating with.
Not doing it from up here, but doing it from here. Amen. Right. Amen. I saw there was someone else who I hadn't heard from before. Who was that? Elizabeth, what do you got?
I think gratitude leads to compassion.
Gratitude is the father, is the mother of all virtues. Gratitude will lead us to greater humanity.
But compassion.
If you're grateful for what you have, you are going to be better at being human. Mm-hmm. Amen. Ingratitude does horrible things. Derek, that's who I wanted to call on. Sorry. Thank you, Derek.
It's okay. I believe that the call to be fully human means that you have to love unconditionally. And loving somebody unconditionally when they are at opposite poles with you and saying things you hate and things you don't want to hear is almost impossible for most of us. But so you have to do it on a conscious step-by-step level to love unconditionally.
I love that you said almost impossible. Yes. Because that means it is possible.
That's correct. And
I have to call, my sister raised her hand. Thank you, Sari. What do you got? I'll unmute you. Go ahead.
That we're able to express our feelings through words and through voice, whether it's perfectly phrased or not, like you were talking about earlier.
Yeah. So just trying, making an effort, and failing. That's what it is to be human, to be truly human, is to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm, vulnerable.
Vulnerable. Let's take that word with us. Okay, good. Let's take a moment. I'm going to move us to our next thing because I found this really cool gift, and I want to give each one of you a gift for showing up. April, glad to see you're here. Sherry, glad you made it. Fantastic. You guys get a gift too. Here's the gift. Hold on. Share screen. Here it is. I have for each and every one of you a $5 gift card for acceptance. You get $5 worth of acceptance just for showing up. It's amazing. You take a screenshot. This, where is it? Right there. That is yours. $5 worth of acceptance. And my question is, what are you going to use it for? You don't have to tell me. I mean, it's kind of tacky for me to give you a gift and then ask you what you're going to use it for. You can just say thank you. That's fine. But I'm going to give you $5 worth of acceptance. It's not the most. I got a thumbs up for the gift. That's great. What would you spend $5 of acceptance on? Give me popcorn. Give me like You know what? If I had $5 more of acceptance, I could. What could you accept? Give me what it would be.
But I don't accept now.
Am I literally hearing crickets? Is that amazing? Barb Segura, really? What do you got? You have $5 more of acceptance. What are you going to use?
I'm going to expand my patience when I'm in the store and people aren't wearing masks. And I'm going to use it to help me feel compassion.
Excellent. Now, let me ask everyone a question. Barb is on a spiritual plane that not all of us are on. And for just $5, she's going to be able to accept people who aren't wearing masks. How many of you actually need this instead? Okay, so now I love you. You're here. I'm giving each one of you, I feel like Oprah right now, which is an awesome feeling. Everyone's going home with $50 of accept. Oh, wait, there's some fine print there. Shit. There's some fine print. I can't read the fine print. Can somebody understand? What does the fine print say about the $50 of acceptance? I don't think it says expiration date. What does it say? What could you imagine? This fictional $50 of acceptance. What's the fine print?
You have to use it.
You have to use it. Use it or lose it. I love it, Sherry. Mwah. Use it or lose it. Betsy Ann.
I'm having a little bit of difficulty with putting dollar amounts to this stuff.
Okay.
Game.
My thought behind it was, now listen, this is experimental religion, folks. In normative religion, things are tested, tried, and true. I'm making this shit up at the kitchen table. I'm like, I never run this exercise before. I had this idea. What if I made a difference between $5 and $50 worth of acceptance? And maybe people would say, well, there are some things that are at a $5 level of acceptance, and there are some things that would take $50 worth of acceptance.
And I'm feeling the place here to express what I just did. Just like you at your kitchen table trying to figure stuff out. I'm trying to.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Right. And that goes back to us being human of just like, dudes, I'm really good at just throwing this up, see what happens. If it doesn't work, I'm just human. I'm doing my part of it. It's cool. I'm all right. $50 worth of acceptance. Let's see if the game works. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't. Can anyone figure out something they would spend $50 of acceptance on that the five just would not cut it? All right. Because that's really too bad. Because I also had this idea. I don't know why this one's on top of my face. That's interesting. Are there things that $5,000 worth of acceptance would help you with where five or 50 would not? Yeah, Michael, yes. Save me from this.
I think what you're trying to say is what would it take to lower your resistance to being more accepting?
That.
What you're trying to say with these dollar things.
Capitalistic
kind of.
Is it? I think that it's all in our heads, right? It's got to be all in our heads that we can't accept this, but we can accept that. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Well, God, I'll accept this one because that's a $5 acceptance, but right. I'm not going to accept the fact that blank.
So,
Franny.
I'm a Christian. So when I was able to go to church, I used to take certain people to the communion rail that I personally could not find a spot in my heart to feel loving about. So I suppose that's where that 5,000 one would go. The people I'm still having trouble with. You know, I come from a belief system that says, you know, we are all created equal in God's eyes and we are all equally beloved and perfect in God's eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm not there yet.
Right.
I am way too judgmental.
Yeah.
To accept some of those people in the way in which they should be accepted and loved.
Right. So let me
I might have to go higher than five.
So here's what I was trying to get at, Franny, is I'm trying in my ridiculous Rabbi Brian way of saying, now you have the $5,000 worth of acceptance. Go spend it. As Sherry said, use it or lose it. Okay.
You don't have enough power to do this.
To give it to you?
Right.
I have all the power that the Wizard of Oz has. All I need you to know is that you have the power within you. I don't have the power. You're absolutely right. All I can do is make up a bogus gift card to tell you you've had this all along.
Well, that's because you're a rabbi.
I love it. All right. So let me make a quick announcement. Tomorrow, I'm laughing because I see the visual that I'm about to put up. Tomorrow, I'm starting something called Rabbi Office Hours. I've been doing this for a while with some people. At 11 a.m. tomorrow, I'll be meeting people in a Zoom room. We've been doing that for, just stop by. You have a question, comment, whatever, like, hey, Rabbi, why does Judaism blank? All right. Bring it tomorrow, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Everyone is welcome to that. Also, please, hold on.
He's doing it.
Please know that I'll just take it in right here. I am so thankful y'all show up. It's wonderful. And if you know of people who would get down, it's a weird thing. Like, it's all right to tell people, hey, this restaurant has really good takeout during the pandemic. That's an okay thing to tell people. Or stream this on Netflix. That's an okay thing to tell people. But hey, there's this really cool religious service that's not really that religious on Saturday mornings. That one starts to get a little bit icky. So if there are people who you could tell without them thinking worse of you, I'd love to be able to share what I can share with more people.
Can yes, I just Michael. Clarify real quick? Do you still mean Monday for your rabbi hours or tomorrow for your rabbi? You said tomorrow.
I apparently don't even know what day it is.
Yeah, it does.
I am on such a spiritual level that that doesn't matter to me.
I like that.
Monday, I apologize. Monday is rabbi office hours. Saturday is this service. This is Saturday right now, May 9th. Thank you for pointing that out.
Wait.
Not May 8th, not May 10th.
Say it again, Sherry.
Monday from 11 to 12 is our...
is our group. I changed the format of it. It's still our group, but other people can come and visit the same way that at one point we all were there the first
time.
Until
2? Oh, anytime.
It's going to be in the newsletter on Monday, and hopefully I got it right there. Okay. So everyone will say, hey, Aaron is finally here. You missed the gift certificates, buddy. But we'll hook you up after the show. Let me take a breath of air. This is where I want you to tell me, I know what I say, or at least I have an idea what I'm trying to say. I don't always know. It's kind of like this. The meaning of communication is in the response elicited regardless of intention. I know what I said and what I meant to say. I don't know what the morals are that you got. So I'd love to hear, what's the takeaway? There's a Hebrew word, nechemta. What's the moral of the story here? What are you taking with you from today's service? And I'd love to hear from a few people, what are the things you're taking away with you? I'll start with you, Jen Stock. Sorry, I'm just calling on you because I wanted to. You don't have to answer, really. Are you up for it?
Yep.
Do it. What are you taking, Jen?
So I'm taking that I will be, now maybe not we, because
I love
me,
that. Good.
Right. So I am going to be more human in my action, and I will not judge myself against others and their actions.
As much. Yeah, wonderful.
I'm trying.
We are all called to be human. What was the second part of that?
And I will not judge myself against others.
We're called to be human, nothing more, nothing less.
Exactly.
Amen. Let me hear from someone else who I haven't heard from yet. Pam or Doug or David or anyone else who hasn't had a Neola, someone who wants to chime in. Michael, April, anyone who wants to chime in. You don't have to, of course.
You can answer.
But I want to give you a chance to. Michael is applauding. Michael, do you want to say something? Doug, go on, Doug.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, man.
I'm going to take away that I'm just really glad that I jumped into your service today, first of all.
Cool.
But also that I'm going to try to use that 5,000K real quick.
What are you going to use it on, man?
I'm just going to try to accept people who think that the coronavirus is a hoax and don't wear masks. I'm going to give it all away real fast.
Yeah, I would love that. And maybe you look at something, you're like, that's a $700 problem. I now have 43 left. Right. Got 4,300 in the bank. And that just came up. I got 4,000 now. And just keep track during the day. And if you run out, I know a guy who can get you a little bit more.
Okay, great.
Michael Burrows, what do you got, my friend?
Hello there. I'm going to try and just be more human towards myself. I think I'm my own worst enemy, so I'm going to
try. I love that. Anyone else think that they are their worst enemy with regard to being human? Yeah, that's what we all do. It's rough. It's rough. Let's be more human. Sari, what do you got?
Right, so accepting of our mistakes. And I'm not sure if that's a $5,000 one or if it's a, I actually think that's priceless.
All right. Amen. That's my sister. All right. And anyone else have something that they, and one of the things that's nice about sharing something out is it helps you to hold on to it. So if you don't have to share it out, but it does help us in our remembering of what to do. So everyone's got some homework for the next week, and it's to be human. Tell me the next four words after that. Everyone's got the homework to be human.
Nothing more, nothing less.
I think that's a beautiful sentiment in which to go out. I thank you all for coming. Alex, could you unmute everyone so everyone can wave goodbye? And hopefully I'll see you all next week.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to everybody.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, everybody.
Happy Mother's Day.
Love you, everybody.
Bye. Hi, everyone.
Awesome. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Rabbi Brian in post-production. Glad you watched this. Glad you listened to it. Shoot me an email. Find me at rotb.org. I'd love to hear from you. Because, it takes a lot of time to put this stuff together, and it's always nice to hear that it's appreciated.